Welcome to Extraordinary Entrepreneur Radio, where we discuss the messy behind the scenes of entrepreneurship. And I'm your host, Maggie Isley. With me today is Lauren Dietrich. And here we go. All right. And I'm here with Lauren. So why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Ooh, good question. How do I sum it all up? Let's see, what identifies my human? Well, I'm from California, but I live in Austria now, but I'm currently in Montana while we're recording this podcast, so that can confuse people, but that's what I like to keep people on their toes. Yeah, I've just kind of been a human for most of my life and liked to travel, ended up in Austria to work at a winery because I was like out straight out of college, like... I like to drink.
You're like, I like wine. Yeah, I like wine and travel.
Yeah, I'm sophisticated. So I wanted to work at a winery in Europe. And it's specifically an Italian one. I studied Italian in college and majored in that. But I got Austria and I was like, fine, I'll go. I'll see if I like it. And then the first week there, I was like, I'm going to live here for the rest of my life.
You're like, this is my home now.
Yeah, I live here now. And so I ended up doing a master's there, met my husband there, started working there, got into sales, like backhandedly, because I was like, I'm never going to be a salesperson, never, ever. And then I was really good at it. Got promoted. And then I was like, F corporate life. I want to like be able to live between America and Austria. And quit my job in the middle of COVID and was like, I'm going to figure this out.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And now you're splitting your time, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, I'm out of here. As soon as I quit, I was like 2 weeks later, international travel opened up and I was like, I'm on a plane to Los Angeles, but I'm going to get the heck out of there quickly. And now just been hanging in Montana. So
that's awesome. So now what is your business for the listeners?
I do social selling and teach social selling for entrepreneurs who are in the online space, specifically Facebook.
All right. Now, I am very familiar with social selling. For those who are not, what does that mean?
What does it mean? Such a good question. Social selling is just selling, but it's done in a social way on social media. So I think it's kind of like a fun term for like being a sales representative for somebody, but also being really fun. At least in my opinion, that's what I do. I like to be really fun while I do it and just build a lot of relationships. So it's essentially selling through social manner and building relationships in that way.
And not being, so for the listeners, that means you're not being the dude who slides into someone's DM and then immediately either asks to be a sugar daddy or asks to have someone join their group immediately, or just hits them up with a Bitly link. Like, those three things are not acceptable. Do not do them immediately.
Right. I wouldn't even call that selling because that's just sketchy.
Yeah, that's
all of those things do not come with the job description.
That's predatory. Don't do that. Don't be gross. Don't be gross. None of us like you.
Yeah.
So, so that's the opposite of what Lauren does. The total and complete opposite. And it's funny because Lauren and I know, like, met totally unrelated, but related to social selling. And then she managed to close me like in an instant. It was so funny because she was already going to be on the podcast. And then she's like world's best social seller, like world's best.
Oh yeah. I'm pretty sure that the title was handed to me after I closed you. So
she is like world's best. She's so good. She's so good. So as far as social selling goes, what do you think is the biggest mistake other than, you know, the Bitly link and the, like, not building rapport? What do you think the next biggest mistake is?
Well, just, that's a good question. The thing is, selling is about listening. And So I think the problem with like the Bitly link or sending like an invite right away is that you have no idea what the other person is thinking because you haven't ever had a conversation with them. So people are really quick to make an offer without even knowing if the person has that problem and if it's even the right answer for them. So it actually just comes back to just kind of basic selling principles, is that you're making an offer as a solution to an open problem. And if you don't know what that problem is, it's always going to come off as weird or like not welcome because you're not listening enough. You have no idea who that person is and if that's actually what they're looking for. So I think it kind of relates to those, like the cardinal sins that we mentioned at the beginning, but
yeah,
all about asking questions. And I don't think people ask enough of them because they're only they're really focused on themselves and what they can do instead of switching the script to what's on the other side of this. Do they, you know, who is this person? What are they all about? You know, what is, you know, what do they have that problem even? And if they don't, like, are they a cool person? You have to have that curiosity first to find out about who you're talking to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So less about selling, more about you. That being said, so tell me how you even got into sales. Cause you were like, no sales, hiss, boo hiss. Like, oh my God, go away, sales. How did it even happen that you got into sales? Like, what was that transition? Like what
happened?
Led you? Yeah. Like what happened? Like for me, I went from corporate, like finance corporate into design. So like, that's a huge difference. So what happened to get you into sales?
Well, I think it was complete and utter desperation is the answer.
Fair.
So I was in Austria. I had done my master's in Austria. Like most European countries, has strict restrictions on letting people into the country, basically to get a green card. That are not European. That's why they have right. like the Union and everything. So I was looking around and I had gone into hospitality because it's a people business. And I had done my master's in that. And I ended up marrying my husband, not because of the green card, but it was a very, like we went to a divorce lawyer first. And I'm proud of this because we thought about it very logically. And we made a tough decision and then really realized that there are a lot of belief systems around marriage, which is a whole nother story, that like people buy into. And so anyway, we like kind of logically got married. We love each other and we're staying together. We made it past our 5-year agreement and we decided to stay together. So
our 5-year agreement.
Yeah. Well, I think we're still in the fourth. We're really bad at dates, but have decided we are staying together.
Good job.
Yes. Thank you. And it was like, we need to survive. Like, how do we do this? And so, in Austria is not like Germany. Germany is very like English speaking, international. Austria is more like, they're just smaller, more closed. And the hospitality industry is really where there is, a lot of English speakers. So I was actually did a lot of what I probably do now, which is make connections. And I was like, I want to talk to some people who work at the different hotels. And I ended up getting connected to the former GM of the Intercontinental Vienna. He was really cool. He liked me. He sent my resume to a bunch of GMs and I got a bunch of interviews and ended up talking to Marriott. And it was interesting because I was actually talking to them about an HR position, which I was just like, oh, okay, it was for the actual company. It was the only open thing. And I was like, okay, I could do HR. I'm a people person. And they ended up promoting somebody from within, but then they recommended me. There was like kind of an outside company that does sales for them. And they said, there's a sales position open. You'd really like, I think you'd be really good at it. And I was like, okay, well, I really need the money. So I'm about to sacrifice just about anything to survive. And so I went in there, I had no idea what the job was about because the job descriptions freaking suck, Marriott. If you're listening, Bill, I've submitted the suggestion to the suggestion box at least 15 times, but anyway. And I kind of clicked with my boss, my soon to be boss. And she was like, yeah, join the team. And they were like, they were just like, oh yeah, we have an American now. Like, we're very diverse. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, blonde hair, blue eyed, like white person joined your right. Yeah. Cool.
Totally different. Yeah. Yeah. Totally different from an Austrian.
Yeah. Like, this is, yeah. My last name is Dietrich, which is just like right. Really German. And so anyway, they were, oh, you're very diverse. And I was like, right. And I kind of was like under the radar, like nobody knew what to do with me. And I sat in a place where the door would, like, we were in a transitional office because they were redoing the building, and the door, people would open the door and they'd get direct eye contact with me. And okay, every time they'd open the door, I would greet them in some form, which was either like Austrian, like Grüß Gott, and they think this is so funny because they're like, oh, the Americans saying like or like I was like Shabbat Shalom was like the classic one that they were like, what is half, like who is this? But people would like purposefully divert like contact with me because they just didn't even know how to handle me, which is so funny. And I would like go up directly to the GM and talk to him in an informal in German, and like I'd ask him and be like, they had like a sale. I mean, this is crazy. These people must have thought I was a lunatic. We were doing like they were selling all the old furniture because they're refurbishing. And so they had this thing on a holiday or something, and he was there, and I went up to him. I was like, oh, like, did you buy anything? And in informal. And he was like, no, I didn't. Like, and I was like, oh yeah, you must have pulled it all to the side before. And he was just like,
he's like, I don't understand why you're talking to me like this.
Like, I think it was like endearing. And so he would always go to this other guy who's like the director of engineering, who's been at the hotel for 30 years, just like him. And he would like, he'd always like nudge him and be like, whoa, like Lauren just did. Every time I talked to him, he'd always go over to him and be like, he just talked to, like, Lauren just did this. And they'd like chuckle about it because they were like, they'd what be like,
this quirky American.
Right. And everyone else was like, don't, like, and I was like, my goal was to give him a hug at the Christmas party. And people were like, oh, you're so crazy. And I wore a snowman sweater, but it was literally like the face of a snowman on the sweater. And I thought it was like a Christmas party, you know, like
Christmas.
For Christmas. Right. Everyone was super formal. And I'm dancing around because I like to dance and have fun. Dancing. And so they were like, I was referred to as the dancing snowman. Oh, everyone God. In the hotel knew me as
oh
that.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. My God.
So I really built a
name. Like, you're like a Seinfeld character.
I mean, yeah, kinda.
you're like a Seinfeld character.
So like, basically they avoided me because they were like, they didn't know, like, it was kind of like dice with me. They didn't like, we don't know what we're gonna get from her. So like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like, who's the one who's like smashing their goals and signed the biggest contract in German in hotel history? That was me.
There you go.
Don't know how. I don't know. I literally don't know how any of this happened. But
whatever. It happened. Don't question it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So literally like just fell into it. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. I was like, I guess I can take this job. Like, sure.
You're like, well, it's either this or be broke and on the streets.
Right. And I was like, I didn't even have to try that hard because like in Austria it's really hard to fire someone. So I was like, literally something that came out of my mouth. I was like, well, what if I just like kind of play it like, because there are people who just like, they kind of lean like, oh, whatever, they can't really fire me. And I can be one of them. And then that didn't last very long. I ended up getting was going to be supervisor, but then was promoted to like team leader. And then like, it was right. Over. But
the giver. That's how it is. That's anytime I've ever been like, I guess I could try not caring. I'm always like, you come in the next day and you're like, wait, how did I just become manager? How am I branch manager now? And it's like, I tried so hard not to care. Why am I a senior representative? Like, what's happening? How did this happen? It's like every time you try not to care, it's like Office Space. It's like you fail upward. It's like, I'm trying so hard. I'm trying so hard to disconnect. I don't understand what's happening. Yeah,
like, tell me, what is, like, what are you seeing? No, but I actually, I do really care. And I was like, but yeah. Then it would be like, I literally knocked on the door when my boss was resigning because he hated it so much. I hope he never listens to this, but he was awful. it wasn't a right fit. And he resigned. And I literally went to like the big lady in charge, our like head of director of marketing sales. And I like knocked on her door and I was like, I know you're probably not thinking this, but I would like to like, you know, step up for the position. And where I lack in experience, I make up with in enthusiasm. You know, she just looked at me and she was like, stared at me. And like, I mean, maybe like 5 seconds of like staring at me. And then the light bulb went off in her head, which was like, oh shit, she could be really good at this.
Right. Cause it's sales. Right. And it's literally just like flipping that switch inside mm-hmm. of people to make them see the possibility.
Yeah.
And it's not, and everybody knows, and you're in the, on the same page I am as far as this goes, that, and I say this on the podcast as well as in my group, it's not about convincing. I don't convince. Mm-hmm. I offer the opportunity. And mm-hmm. if people want to come along, that's fantastic. If they don't, I'm here whenever they're ready. And if they're never ready, well, then they're going to stay where they are forever. That's right. Fine. That's up to them. But I can't. And what's really funny is the podcast that came out on Friday the 25th. Yeah, the podcast that came out on Friday the 25th of September was all about personality types. Mm-hmm. And I learned that my Enneagram is an 8.
Oh, you're an 8?
Yes.
Oh, no wonder we go well. So I love 8s.
So yes, I'm an 8. And that mm-hmm. came out on the 25th. And I learned that that's why, like, I am that way, is that I'm mm-hmm. literally, and I didn't know I was an 8. Like, I didn't, because every time I take it, I get a different result. But mm-hmm. I sat down with an Enneagram coach, Lindsay. Lindsay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, Lindsay Hale. So yeah. I sat down with Lindsay and she was like, yeah, you're an 8 through and through. And that's exactly it, is because I don't convince people. I'm literally like, you can come with me because my way is the right way, or you can stay where you are and be stuck. It's fine either way. Like, no skin off my back. I don't care.
Yeah.
So and that's part of what sales is. So it's awesome that way. Yeah. But I forget that you know Lindsay. Like, I forget. Mm-hmm. So the entrepreneurial space is actually quite small. It's huge. Oh, yeah. And it's really small. Mm-hmm. Like, the good people know each other. Like, it's so true. Like, the experts in their field know each other. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Now, how did you end up starting your own business from working and then quitting your job and being like, okay, well, hospitality obviously took a dive when COVID took mm-hmm. a dive. So how did you end up getting into social selling?
Oh God. It was like resistance again. I'm never doing sales again. Da, 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 da. But I actually decided November of 2019 that I was going to be like in the coaching space because I don't know, like coaching, consulting, and I'm going to get out of my job because I had a vision for my life, which was to be between Austria and Montana specifically. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know. I started a coaching certification program that was kind of like my first step in this direction in January. I started looking, I was on LinkedIn a lot and somebody did a challenge on Facebook, but they're talking about it on LinkedIn. So I actually got into the Facebook group world and I was like, whoa, what is even this whole thing about? Yeah. And opportunity really like opened up there. And actually what's really funny is I was doing market research and figuring out who my ideal client is and what my offer is. And I talked to Diana Manti, who you also,
is actually going, so she's not on the podcast. She's in my group on October 1st.
Oh yeah. She's awesome.
She'll be in my live talking about Facebook ads.
Yeah. And so we connected, I talked to her, did market research, thought, okay, she's really cool, stayed connected, joined her Facebook group. And I was so impressed. I was I'm so scared of opening my own Facebook group. How'd you do this? She directed me like to how we all met. And
yeah.
And it was really cool, but I still was, I actually just joined a coaching program knowing I'm going to start my own business. And if I join this coaching program, this means I'm going to quit my job because one, COVID, they were talking about laying people off. And I knew that I could, I mean, I kind of had confidence that I could make it work outside and I didn't want to be there anyway. So I didn't want them to lay off people from my team who didn't really have any, have other options. And so I started thinking about it. I joined the program, gave notice. Didn't have any idea what I was going to do because it was supposed to be December. I was going to be like, okay, I'm going to get clients first and I'm going to get it rolling. And then I leave a smooth transition. Like, then I'm going to get pregnant, go on 2 years maternity leave because in Austria, you get 2 years of maternity leave paid. Guaranteed job when you come back. 5 years of protected like mom time where you can choose your hours.
What is Austria?
Right. It's scary. So I had a whole plan, like the safe plan of how, you know, I could go out for 2 years of maternity leave, figure it out, come back part-time, dictate my hours, still have a job, whatever. And I was just like, nope, I can't do this anymore. This slowing things down made me realize how out of alignment it was because I could actually see it for once and feel it.
Yeah.
And I just, I had no clients and I was like, I'm out of here.
And I can build it.
Yeah. And I got my first clients within a month and it was business coaching. So I was, which I'm good, like business coaching, which they were like, you just teach us sales. And I was like, but isn't that just how you run your business is you have to sell to have a business, hence coaching. And they're like, not quite. And I was like, okay. And I was really resistant to it. Actually, I was really resistant. I had seen the social selling thing and thought, okay, that must be honestly easy because I know the background. I knew I'd be really good at it. And I ended up started training the people I was coaching, which ended up working out in social selling to some extent. And I was crying a lot. I had my first clients and I was like, oh, like what is my life? And I'm like, so, you know, of course I've just succeeded in some sense and I'm having a mental breakdown of like what's happening with my life. And my husband's like, you're doing it. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. It's all right. And,
it doesn't feel and like it just, I don't know when it starts to feel like it.
Right. But I was like, something's off. And I was really resisting actually the selling part. And I was talking to people about it and I was kind of making a plan around it, but I wasn't doing it. And I just actually crossed paths with somebody who was like, sell for me. And I was like, well, he said, do you have a social seller? And I was like, well, I could train your team. And he's, I don't want you to train my team. I want a social seller. I was like, okay. And I thought about it and I was like, well, nobody I know is going to be good enough for what he needs.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, 10 hours. I'll just volunteer 10 hours for 3 months. And then I'll train somebody into my position. Well, had one conversation with the sales guru and it lined up so well. And I was like, okay, fine. Like I'm doing it. And I totally rocked it. It was so fun. It was like the alignment that needed to be there. Just kind of, it came. So yeah, that's where it came from.
Yeah. And now I imagine you're booked out. I mean, I'm not speaking to that, but I'm imagining you are because I recommend you to everyone I know now. And then like, I recommended you at least twice in the last week. And I've told people to ask you about training and ask you if you're actually taking clients. Like I have been recommending you to everyone. So it's such like you were so good on the call because that person that you are now working with is who you closed me with.
Yeah.
And he is an amazing person to work for, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And then your services were like out of this world. Like the way that you talk to people, it's so genuine. And that's what social selling is about. It's about understanding that people buy from people and understanding that you are not guiding the conversation as a social seller. You are asking the questions and you did this and I pointed it out while you were doing it with me. You are asking the questions to convince, to have the other person convince themselves of the purchase.
Right. And not in a way that was like tricky.
No, no, not at all.
Opening a door for somebody to explore literally explore opportunity. And it's really actually kind of like, I watch it, not just from me doing it, but watch others doing it. And you see it and you're like, oh my God, it's like essentially coaching somebody in a call to a breakthrough that's around their thinking patterns and what's keeping them from moving forward. And it's really cool. It's really cool.
It's really cool because the answer is already inside of you, right? Whether it's coaching, whether it's selling, whatever it is, the answer is there. And all you do on if it's social selling or if it's coaching or if it's whatever is help that other person to realize it.
Right. And the answer can be no. That's the thing.
That's exactly it. So in social selling, sometimes it's the same thing because right now I act as my own social seller in a lot of situations because I'm just not big enough yet to have a whole team. Mm. So there are some of the clients that I talk to, I socially sell them. It makes sense, especially if they came with me before I had two other people. So when I don't hand them off after they already talked to me, that's so weird. Oh my God.
Sorry. I have somebody else who's going to manage you now.
Right. Let me introduce you to your concierge now that you've already talked to me. Right. what it is sometimes you get them to that answer and that answer is like, here's a genuine reason. It's not an excuse. Here's a genuine reason. Yeah. And it's like, cool, then this isn't a great fit for you. And you don't want that person in your program or working with you because no one's going to be happy. And right. That's okay. So that's what selling is all about, is either helping someone or knowing that you're helping them by parting ways.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I have a war board of war board. It's just like my like organization was all visual and I have it right next to me on the wall. And I see the people who, there were some people who really wanted it, but the timing wasn't right. And we had that conversation and the answer was not right now because it would not benefit them to walk into this program at this time because they needed to be somewhere else in their business. And I don't take offense to it. They're happy because, you know, and they'll come around next time. They're going to say, wow, mm-hmm. What a great experience. I learned so much from the group or the challenge or whatever that you hosted. And they'll stick around. They'll continue the conversation with you. And then when the time is right, they will buy mm-hmm. because they want to. They just, it's, and I don't want to bring somebody in who's not going to get the most out of the program because it's not going to benefit them. It's not going to benefit the other people, you know, the coach, the client, the other clients that are there. If it's a group program, it's about the environment that you create, and you want to create a really genuinely helpful environment that's going to move your clients.
That's exactly. And that's how I feel about selling as well. So that's mm-hmm. what's awesome is that even though we haven't known each other like forever, it's such an alignment when it comes to finding people who are like value aligned that selling becomes a service to people because you offer them an opportunity to just be better or improve whatever they're looking for. And then again, if it's not a right fit, sometimes, and this is especially true with me because I am an Enneagram 8, as I've learned. Sometimes my personality, and I didn't know this was because of my Enneagram 8, but it's my personality in general. I am not a great fit.
What the title of the 8 is?
Oh, I don't remember.
The Challenger.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go. So
that's insight for anyone who doesn't know what the 8 is. It's the Challenger.
That's it. That's what it was. And when she told me and she was like, and you always push people and you don't like being told what to do and you don't need to be the one in control, but you need to have control. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and I was like, oh yeah, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. So when she explained all of that to me, I was just like, yeah. And that makes me a special fit for people. So sometimes my service might be a great fit, but I might not be a great fit.
Right.
And that's fine. Then find somebody who's offering my service, with a personality that matches.
Oh yeah.
For you. Because you know what? That's what the person needs right then.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right. And there are, you know, people offer a lot, like there are a lot of people out there offering a lot of the same services, maybe not in the same way, but it's about finding personality that fits because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the things that tie together the people that I pulled into the program, this specific program is a personality and a drive thing. I mean, there are certain elements of their business, but if they're going to bring an energy that really doesn't mesh well, they aren't going to want to show up or it's going to impact. So, you know, personality is a huge selling point. And, you know, honestly, the more polarizing you are, the more your follower, like you pull out very specific people. And this is something in selling that I've always been kind of like a people pleaser. I'm a three wing two. So I'm goal oriented and also like kind of people pleasing. So it can get a little bit off the chain, but I found that I have in the past suppressed a lot of my personality. And what happens is then I get into spaces with people where I'm like, there's resentment a little bit there because it doesn't quite match up and I'm suppressing something to make this work, or I bring out my personality and then they're like, ooh, like, I don't really like this. And so I've just found like showing up authentically as you really just, it helps because people know upfront who you are, what type of person you are to work with. And then you don't have this like down the road where you're like, okay, well, I'm doing this to get the sale. So I'm suppressing my personality. And then all of a sudden you show up in the program or working one-to-one with them. And they're like, oh, well, this is what you're actually like,
right. I can't have that. And that's, right. That's part of what it is like when I was, cause I worked in corporate for so long and I could not be myself in corporate because I was in corporate. And right. It was when you're in corporate, you're just like, hey, what's up? I'm a drone. And yeah. That's how it has to be. Especially I worked for AT&T. And then I worked into an insurance company and I was in an insurance company for 6 years. And that was like mm-hmm. my long haul. And it was a drain on my life. And that is really where I lost my personality. And it was, I didn't lose it, but like where I had to keep a cap on it. Mm. And anytime it would like seep out a little bit, people were always like taken aback. Like I was just the crazy one. And it was like, okay, I'm going to die in this place. And when I finally left corporate America, I literally got one, two. So I had my back tattoo in corporate, but I think I got three or four tattoos after I left, visible mm-hmm. ones. Like I got three visible once I left because I was like, and then I dyed my hair pink right away, right after I left. And cool. I was like, okay. And since then I've had pink, I've had purple, I've had blue, like I've had every color. Cause I was like, I can't ever go back to that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like absolutely not. And I think that's so important. Yeah. My life is amazing now.
Yeah.
And I find the people that work for me because like you said, you have to repel in order to attract. Yes. Because then the people who attract to you truly are there for the right reasons.
Yeah.
They're not just there for, you know, your freebies. They're not just there because you have such a strong personality that like, I know me personally, I don't care how good the freebies are. If I don't like you,
yeah,
I'm not going to be there. Like, I don't care. If I don't like you, I will not be around for your freebies. No. But that's part of having that strong personality.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to show up for my weekly free trainings with a personality like mine unless you actually like me.
Right, exactly.
Like, you can't sit through it. I promise. I guarantee I will repel you unless you actually like me. So that's what's cool about it. So awesome. Now, where can people find you if they want to connect with you? Do you want people to connect with you or do you want to just like...
I don't know. Only for cool.
Right.
Like, please do a self-assessment first and then...
But Lauren's going to have a quiz for you to take, and then it'll come into your email after a review. If she likes you, you will receive an invite.
You may apply first, and then you may have... No, I'm on Facebook. You can find me. I have my personal profile as Lauren Dietrich. I'm the one smiling, but right now I have a cover photo of me in the wheel of a tractor.
I saw that. I saw you updated that.
I just wanted to make sure people could find me, you know, and just in case. But that was a classic. That was in Austria. The Austrians were like, what the hell is going on? I even insisted that the guy there, he was so timid that I like basically was just like, okay, now you drive the tractor and I'm going to sit on the top, on the front of the tractor, and I'm going to sing a song.
That was in Austria?
Yeah, in Austria. And I was just like, okay, drive the tractor and I'm going to sit on the front of it. And I was singing, I don't know, at least three different songs that had to do with tractors, but it was like my goal that I sit on a tractor while he's driving it through the field and I sing the songs. And I think in any other case, this is everything that's happened in Austria. People would normally say, no way, absolutely not. But because I'm so direct and speaking English and I don't know, like I have a way where they just say, oh yeah, okay. And then they go along with it. So we're driving all around this little village. And I was like, I'm a son of a third generation farm. And so, yes, if you see me in a wheel of a tractor, you can just then imagine what happened next. But yeah, Facebook. You can find me on Facebook.
Oh my God. So yeah, that's Lauren. She's amazing. Find her on Facebook. That's, oh my gosh. And then do you want to pitch anything? Like, do you want to pitch your business? Do you want to pitch, do you have a group you want to pitch? Anything like that?
Nah, I think that, you know.
Find her on Facebook if she wants
to. Find me on Facebook. And if I think you guys, like, you know, if we talk and you're cool, we can be friends. If you're talking, you're like, man, I'm struggling with sales, I can hook you up with like a cool group, but I don't really want to pitch anything unless I know what you're all about. So.
How awesome is that? That is a social seller for you. She doesn't want to pitch you until she knows what the right thing is to pitch.
Yeah, I know. That? And I know, and I do it. I don't pitch, but I refer a lot just because I talk to people and I'm like, if you could get connected with one person and they're like, man, I'd love to connect with this person. I'm like, man, I have the perfect person. And that is what feels really cool for me, is that there's a huge network of really cool people out there. And if I can be that connector, I'm super happy to do it. So bring your problems to me and I've got a guy.
You got a problem? Lauren will solve it. Yeah, she's like exactly. Ice. So she's got it. So, all right. That's awesome. So that's it, dude. That is it. I'm going to wrap this up. And then if you need anything, hit up Lauren on Facebook. You know where to find me, Inside the Collective. Or of course, obviously you find me on Facebook, Instagram, all the places. All right, guys, until next week. Bye.